Revelation 19:16. He is the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords. Amen. Now, I don't know what that means to you, but here's what it means to me. It tells me who is in charge, who is in control. And it's not this world and it's not man. It's not any government. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, and thank you for tuning in. Pastor Bill continues his study of the New Testament book of Revelation today with the conclusion to the message, The King is Coming. Now, here's Pastor Bill.
When we get into chapters 2 and 3, and we look at these churches, yes, they have a message to them, but the message also applies to us and every generation of Christians, okay? But what those seven churches are going to do, they're going to give us a panorama, if you will, an overview of church history until even the time when the hour of trial comes upon this planet, okay? So it's going to be an interesting study when we get into 2 and 3. Now, again, the number 7 is just paramount. And I encourage you to do a study about that number. You can probably, I don't know, you can probably Google it, or I don't know if you do that or not, but I don't know if it's possible. Maybe Google, is that smart? I don't know. But don't do AI, all right? 7. How many days did it take for the creation? 7 days. How many colors in the rainbow? 7. How old am I? 7. Now, when Peter came to Jesus, oh, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? 7. That's a lot, Lord. What did Jesus say? Oh, Peter, 70 times 7. How many times did Naaman the leper, the general, did he dip in the Jordan? 7 times. You want me to keep going? No, I don't either. All right. It says, and here it comes, the one I wanted you to remember. And from the 7 spirits, capital S, who are before his throne. Now, some wonderful scholars and expository teachers, which I love, you know, they say, well, Bill, this word is talking about angels. But angels are not called spirit anywhere in the book of Revelation. And frankly, it couldn't be that because it's a capital S, all right? It's the Holy Spirit. And so it has to be the Holy Spirit here. So 7 speaks of the power, the fullness, the overwhelming perfection of the Holy Spirit. There are not 7 Holy Spirits, right? No, there's only 1 Holy Spirit. So what's he saying? Let me give you the scripture so you can study out later. In Isaiah 11, 1 and 2, it says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, talking about Jesus, the Messiah. It says, and here comes the 7 spirits, okay? It says, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of mind, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. So that's that 7-fold complete fullness of the Spirit that rested upon Jesus Christ our Lord when he came down upon him like a dove, all right? Now, so then it says from in verse 5 there, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Jesus is faithful, isn't he? You know, he calls himself in Revelation 3:14, he says, I am the faithful witness. I am the true witness. Jesus is, the spirit of prophecy is Jesus. Did you know that? Revelation 19 something, I forget what it is. And so the thing is, here he is the prophet. So it says, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. And so this is the first title given to our Lord here. And there's going to be 6 more, so it'll be a total of 7 titles given to Jesus in the verses that follow. Now, the faithful witness, is there anyone more faithful than Jesus? Is Jesus the author and finisher of our faith? Jesus is true. Matter of fact, John 14:6, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? Now, so with all that being said, he's not only the faithful witness, look at the next one, he is the firstborn from the dead. Now, a lot of people say, and especially the cults, that, well, see, Jesus was the firstborn. He was born. But listen, he was born, but he came from heaven. Amen? Jesus has always been. He's always existed. He became the God-man at the virgin birth. Amen? Now, so he is the firstborn from the dead, which means this. Jesus holds the highest place of any person in the universe. He is the firstborn from the dead. There are many people that died in the Bible. You know, let's take the easy one. How about Lazarus? Did Lazarus die? How many times did Lazarus die?
Twice.
He died twice. Whew, is that a bummer? I mean, you can imagine, he dies and all of a sudden they go, hey, you're back again, man. What's going on, you know? Meaning in heaven. Now, with all that being said, Jesus, he died, but death could not hold him. Why? He defeated death. He defeated the devil. He defeated the grave. He defeated sin. He was raised incorruptible in a glorified body. There is no one like our Lord. Amen? So he has the very first place, never to die ever again. And look at the next one. So let's go back. He's a prophet. Now there he's a priest. Now look at the next one here. He is the king. And the ruler, another title, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Man, it doesn't say that he will be king. It says here that he is the ruler of kings right now. Amen? Can I give you a few scriptures? I pray they bless you about Jesus being the king. It says in Daniel 4:37 that Jesus, he is the king of heaven. In Matthew 2:2, it says he's the king of the Jews. In John 1:49, he's the king of Israel. In 1 Timothy 1:7, he is king eternal. In Psalm 24:7, he's the king of glory. In Revelation 15:3, he's the king of the nations or king of the saints. And the one that we all know so well in Revelation 19:16, he is the king of kings and he is the Lord of lords. Amen. Now, I don't know what that means to you, but here's what it means to me. It tells me who is in charge, who is in control. And it's not this world and it's not man. It's not any government. Amen. Listen, he is seated right now at the right hand of God. All power and authority is given to him in heaven and upon earth. Nothing is going to get by our Lord. He is in control. History is his story. Amen? So right now, he's ruling, whether you see it or not, with all the hell that's breaking loose around the world and China, Ukraine, and all the other nations, and Russia. Listen to me. Heaven's not shaking. Heaven's not worried. Jesus, we know what's happening. The Bible tells us Jesus is definitely in control. Matter of fact, there's not a greater name than Jesus. There's not another name that you can be saved by under heaven, given unto man, but except Jesus. That's the only way to be saved. And the Bible says this in Philippians 2:9, God has highly exalted him and given him the name, which is above every name, above every name. No matter what name in any generation or anywhere in the universe, there is not a greater name than Jesus Christ. Amen. And it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus returns, when the King of glory comes, loved one, listen to me. There's only going to be one ruler then. The day of man's rule is going to be over with forever and ever and ever and ever. And Jesus is going to reign for 1,000 years on this planet in perfect righteousness and truth. Amen? Remember what it says? Jesus said, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Oh, that's how he rules, loved one. And so, but now we live in a dark world. Don't focus on the dark world. Pray for this dark world. Amen? You focus on who you are in Christ. And not only that, look what he did. It says, to him who what? Loved us. Now, in the Greek, that would be present tense, continuous, a continuous act. Never, 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 no matter what you're going through in your life, no matter what you're facing, please don't ever doubt that Jesus doesn't love you. Because that scripture right here says this, he continues every moment, every second, he loves you. And that love can never be quenched. Do you understand? Well, Bill, I got in trouble. That love can never be quenched. You follow me. That's so, so important, loved one. That love will never let you go. And that love is so strong. You remember in Romans chapter 8, it's always been said, you know, Romans 8 begins with, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, and it ends with there is no separation. In Romans 8:39, it's very clear, nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Jesus, he loves us. Do you know how much he loves us? He did something we could never do. He proved his love. Romans 5:8, now God proves or demonstrates his love. Christ died for the ungodly. He sent his son to die for you and for me. So to him who loved us, and oh, look what he did, and washed us, past tense, a completed act, washed us from our what? From our sins. How? In his own blood. The Bible says in 1 John 3:5, and we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Boy, I'll tell you, that's what I call love. I mean, the price that was paid for our freedom, hell will never be our home. Sin will never have dominion over us. The grave that holds nothing, amen? No, he defeated them all for us, and he did it with his own blood. Remember what Peter said in 1 Peter 1:18-19? He says that we have not been redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from our aimless conduct, but we have been redeemed, we've been purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the precious blood of the Lamb. John 1:29, what did John say? He says, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. As we traffic through this great study called Revelation, loved one, you'll see the word lamb used over and over, and I think it's mentioned maybe 29 times in this book. It's going to be a wonderful study. And then in verse 6, look what he's done. He loves us. He's washed us in his own blood. And what happened? He has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. Isn't that funny how that expression there? He's calling, which he is, God the Father and God the Son. Now, when it says kings and priests, that's really not the exact translation in the Greek. It says he's made us a kingdom of priests. We're not kings. We're a kingdom of priests, which is really wonderful that we serve the Lord. But if you're a priest, that means you've been born again, and now you're a priest of God. And you know what that means? For every Christian, it means you don't have to come to me. You don't have to come to any pastor. You don't have to go to anyone else. You have, if you're a believer, you are a priest and you have direct access to God anytime, any place. Hebrews 4:16, you've been invited. You come boldly. That means with confidence. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen? God, you can go to the Lord anytime and you can cry out to him. It says when you go there, you'll find mercy, you'll find help and obtain it in time of need. It's called the throne of grace, loved one. And at the throne of grace, there is not one charge against you. Jesus paid it all. We enter by the blood of the Lamb, amen? And we have that wonderful freedom, that access. And not only that, you know, remember what it says in Peter, 1 Peter, I believe it is? He says that you are a chosen generation. Isn't it wonderful to know that God chose you? And not only that you're a chosen generation, but you are a royal priesthood. How did you become a royal priesthood? I mean, you're the king's kids, but how? Well, that means you have been adopted. God adopted you in the spirit of adoption. A royal priesthood, loved one. And it says that we have been called out of the darkness of this world into his marvelous light. And that's where we are to walk. We are the priest of God. And I watch this now. It says, to him, meaning Jesus, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know what that's teaching us? That's talking about the final outcome of it all. Jesus is going to win, and he is going to rule, and yet that should be living in your hearts. So Jesus is coming again. He's going to establish his kingdom upon the earth for 1,000 years, loved one. And I want you to see what's going to happen now in the next verse, in verse 7. We're going to look at John's first of 7 visions, and it says that he's going to do something. And I want you to try to really get this. He is going to look deep into the future. He's going to look past us right now, all the way to the very end of the age. Unbelievable. And he's going to see something. This is not the rapture, okay, in verse 7. This is the second coming of Christ. This is what was foretold. Remember when we just finished our study in the book of Jude, or in Jude 14, where it says, Enoch, he prophesied that the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Can you believe that the second coming was prophesied in the Old Covenant? And so before the Lord comes with his saints, he has to come for his saints. Amen? And so that could happen tonight. It could happen right now. We could be gone. We could be with the Lord. We'd meet him in the air, and forever we would be with the Lord. So now, verse 7, incredible. The theme of this book, in a way, behold. In other words, look, look, open your eyes and behold. Behold the King. He is coming, how? With the clouds. There are 216, I believe, chapters in the New Testament. There are probably at least 318 references to the second coming of Christ. And it's estimated that one out of every 25 verses in the New Testament are concerned with the second coming of Christ. Amazing. So behold, he's coming with the clouds. You know, remember when the disciples, Jesus, Bethany, and there he, the resurrected Lord, he's getting ready to ascend, and he leads them far out, and he goes out to Bethany, and in Acts chapter 1, I think it's 9 through 11, and Jesus ascends into the cloud, carried away in the clouds. And the angel, which they were angels, by the way, they tapped him on the shoulder, I'm paraphrasing there, and said, why do you guys keep standing looking up? So this same Jesus is going to come again the same way he departed, meaning with the clouds. The Bible is so full of that kind of information. Let me just give you a few scriptures here. In Matthew 24:29, he says, immediately, Jesus said, after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. That is, unless you are a preterist, those things have already happened, okay? Now, so, and then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. All the tribes or all the people of the earth are going to mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and glory. Another one. Matthew 26:64, Jesus is talking to the Jews and so forth. They're getting the executioners and all that, and he said, listen, nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power of God and coming with the clouds. When we get over to Revelation 14, we're going to see our Lord. He's actually seated on a cloud. Man, and write this down so you can look it up later. I think it's Daniel 7:13. And it'll say about the Son of Man when he comes. Now look what's going to happen. It says that, behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, who crucified him, who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth, not talking about the 12 tribes here, we're talking about everybody on earth, it will mourn. That's a heavy word. They'll be horrified. They'll beat their breast. And because of him, and even so, amen. So why will they be tormented? Well, that's the second coming. It's too late to be saved then. Do you understand? It's too late then. But it says that every eye will see the personal, visible, bodily return of Jesus Christ to this planet, especially the remnant of Israel, okay? So when we look at this and see that every eye and every person will mourn, even they who pierced him, meaning the Jews, the Romans, and every person that has denied him since that time to this day, you're piercing him too. Now, with all that being said, people may say, well, Bill, how can those who pierced him 2,000 years ago, how can they see him? They are dead. Well, the Bible tells us how. Let me give you the scripture. Zechariah 12:9, and it shall be in that day, meaning the second coming of Christ, that I will seek to destroy all the nations that have come against Jerusalem. Remember, they're surrounded by all the nations to destroy them. And he says, and I will pour on the house of David, meaning the Jews, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication. That's the Holy Spirit. And they will look on me, Jesus says, whom they pierced. And yes, they will mourn as him who mourns for his only son and grieve for him as it grieves for the firstborn. So that remnant that is left in Israel at the second coming, that represents the nation of Israel, and that remnant will turn to Christ. They will be saved. After all of that time, they'll finally recognize Jesus Christ as their true Messiah. And look at the conclusion here. In verse 8, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, who is, that's present tense, who was, that's past tense, and now we go to the future tense, who is to come. And look at those, the next words there, the Almighty. Nine times he's going to be called the Almighty God. You know, I told the early service, I said, I remember when Thomas was just a little boy, and we were at the supper table one evening having dinner. And as we were eating, Thomas looked at me. He says, Daddy, he says, what is God's first name? And I said, it's Andy. You know, and he walks with me. No, I'm actually, someone gave me that in the first service. No. And he said, Daddy, what's God's first name? And, you know, I mean, I was, for a moment, I didn't know what to say. But for some reason in my heart, I looked at him and I said, Thomas, I said, God's first name is Almighty. He is the Almighty God. And there is no one greater than him. Amen? Amen. And listen to me now. And I look at it and I say, dear God, you know, the Alpha, the Omega, that is the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. Now, listen very carefully. You know, I love to learn new things when I teach. In other words, I'm never satisfied. I mean, it's the fourth time in over 30-some-odd years here that I've taught through the book of Revelation. And so, you know, I was looking at the Greek on Friday and going through the text and just looking. All of a sudden, I saw something. I said, what? And so I looked and I said, wow. So I went into the smartest person in the office, okay? That's not me. I went into Pastor Cisco. I said, Pastor Cisco, go and look this up in the Greek and tell me if I'm right. And he went through and he says, wow, Bill, I've never seen that. I said, and you know what? I've taught this book. It's my fourth time, and I've never seen it either. Now, Bill, what did you see? Now, listen carefully. He says, I am the Alpha. In the Greek, that is spelled out, okay? Alpha, all right? But it's in the Greek. But when he says, I am the Omega, it's not spelled out. The only word that is there is the first word, the first letter. And I said, why did he do that? And he did it over in Revelation 22:13 as well. Why? And I started praying and thinking about it. I'm giving you what I think. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I'm every letter of the alphabet. I am, Jesus, I am all that you will ever need. You'll never need anyone else but me. I am the storehouse of all knowledge. Amen. He is all powerful. He's present with us now. No one is greater than Jesus. But he only put the first letter when it came to Omega. Why? Because it's not the end yet. It's not the last letter of the alphabet. But it will be one day. Does that make sense? Jesus is coming, loved one. The second coming. And we're going to be coming with him. Now listen to me. The Almighty God, who has always been, is coming. If you don't know Christ, you're listening on the radio right now. You're listening live. Jesus really is coming. And if you don't know Christ, listen carefully, if the first coming of Jesus, if it has not saved you, the second coming of Christ will condemn you. There's no options. It's either now or never. You know, a lot of people say, you know, God is the God of love. He is the God of love, but he's also the God of justice. You can't separate that. You can't separate the holiness of God and the love of God. God is love, and God cannot lie. And if you look through the book of Revelation, loved one, you're going to find some contrast. Like I said, he's a God of love. He's a God of justice. But in there, you're going to find something. You're going to find that there is a river of life in the book of Revelation. But opposed to that is a lake of fire. That's hell. So a person only really right now has two choices. Which do you really want in eternity? Do you want the rivers of living water, the river of life, eternal life, forever in heaven, separated from everything that's wrong and evil? And if you don't want that, then there's only one other lake, one other body of water, and it's not water. It's called the lake of fire, and that is eternal hell. So you have to make a decision now. You play with it, but you never really said, Lord, save me. I really want to be saved. I want to know I'm saved. Or maybe you don't have assurance. Well, you can, and that is when you ask Christ to be your Lord.
Pastor Bill will continue his study of Revelation on tomorrow's program, and we look forward to seeing you once again. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in today. Be blessed, and so long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.